Blog Talk Radio.
Is the 22nd of April 2016 at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time, and 8 p.m. UK Time. And to all our listeners from around the world, the number to ring the show is 347-539-5367. And from the UK, 001-347-539-5367. And 5367. And the chat room is open. Well, we're going to have a really good night tonight with a good friend of mine. We always have a good with our gay. I just want to mention a good friend of mine, we call him Paul Sinclair. He's got a book out coming out soon, and it's called The Truth That Leaves No Proof. It's about UFOs, and it's about UFOs on the east coast of England, around Bridlington and Flamborough, Benton, Boynton, and all them places. And it's a real good book. So it's coming out in May. Just want to tell you that. There's been a couple of sightings again around Bridlington. We're looking into it at the moment. It looks as though it's a UFO. It's not a plane, it's not an helicopter, but we're looking into it at the moment. But in a later show, I'll let you know how we've got on looking around the area again. Well, well, tonight, I've got a good friend of mine called Argy Nosh. And Argy's done numerous things in his life, being an author, talk show host. He was born in Norway and came to the States to follow his dream. Through his many experiences as a flight instructor, commercial pilot, business owner, paranormal researcher, publisher, student of the mind, radio and TV talk shows, and producer. He's a good one. Can we please welcome Hargy to the show? Hello, Hargy.
Hello, hello there. And I'm over in Tucson, Arizona, and you're in England. Isn't it nice to have a global communication system, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, so on tonight's show, yes, we'd like to, because a lot of people out there don't know about science out there. Are we alone? Is there life elsewhere in the universe?
Well, if we're just going to say yes, it is, that would be a very show. But let's elaborate a little bit on that.
Yes.
You know, I haven't done one of these shows on UFOs and the moon or anything like that for a long time. So this is going to be kind of fun for me too, because when we hear this term UFO, we automatically, aha, alien spaceships. Well, that's not it though. The UFO stands for unidentified flying objects. And that really means that, yeah, it could be. But if there is something in the sky flying around that I cannot identify, it's a UFO, unidentified flying object. And a lot of the reports that we get on UFOs, it is just plain and simple airplanes. That is, you know, but if you're looking into the sun, you don't see what it is, it looks different than what it really is, and you think, aha, that's a UFO. No, not necessarily. So I've been called a debunker once in a while, and that's okay, but there is much more to the sky than meets the eye, so we should keep looking up. And if we're really smart, then we buy ourselves a good, powerful telescope.
Yes.
You'll be amazed what you can see if you got a good telescope. And, of course, the obvious place to aim it is at the moon. So that's why we'll talk about that tonight, too. I think maybe we'll talk, for the first half, we'll talk about what we know about the moon, what we're told about the moon, and what we see up there from Earth. And also UFOs in the same order. And then the second half, we'll talk about what really is going on with UFOs and what really is on the moon. So that could get a little interesting.
I'm sure it will be, Yage. I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing about stuff like that as well.
Yeah. See, UFOs, we have had evidence, not just conjecture, evidence of UFOs for a very long time. We have hieroglyphics in temples and pyramids in Egypt showing flying discs. We have carvings in stone and bone coming out of South America, India, Africa, and just about everywhere around the world showing the shape of the alien gray, as well as the shape outline of flying saucers. And why in the world would these people in the antiquity come up with these things unless they saw something?
Correct.
So it's there, right under our noses. In fact, there's a temple in Egypt where there is this panel. And that panel shows the outline of an almost exact shape of a Cobra helicopter, as well as flying discs and flying saucers.
We wonder,
what is that all about? There are things back then. And then we can go back 9,000 years ago to India. They have writings and carvings and old records of a machine they called the Vimana. That Vimana was a flying machine. And they explain what it was in those writings, what it looked like, and to a certain degree, what I have read, what the engine was like. Now, there are other writings about that that explains exactly what the engine was. It was a Mercury engine that was rotating in two directions opposite of each other with different layers, and it created a plasma field around the craft.
Right.
So, yeah, so it almost is exactly like this contraption that the Black Sun organization under the SS in the German Nazi Empire created. They call it the Bell. Die Glocke.
Oh, yes, I've seen that, yes. Yeah, the Bell.
Yeah, and that one also worked on pretty much the same principle as the Vimana engine. Now, there is a rotating outer shell and an inside shell that rotates the other way. And it is, it's got, the one that the Germans made had red mercury in it. And there's a lot to this one. And what they really created was a contraption that worked as a small black hole. If up and beyond a certain speed, it turned into a black hole. But when they kept it below that speed, then it created a plasma field around the bell in which this field nullified gravity, because it created a gravity of its own against the center of the field.
Really?
So if it was positioned in such a place inside a ship, which they also created, they used this this engine inside the Haunebu 2 and the Haunebu 3. And they experimented on the Haunebu 1 with it, but it was so unstable, it kept crashing on them all the time, so they couldn't find any pilots to fly it anymore, so they left that one alone, and they created the Haunebu 2. And that one did fly, it was much more stable, and the Haunebu 2, in fact, there are written records, so the German hadn't, they had taken that. I have the testing results on my computer somewhere that shows from the ground to 60,000 feet straight up against gravity. It took them 3 minutes to get to 60,000 feet.
Incredible.
That is incredible.
Yes.
And there also is written record of them going to the moon with it. And,
right.
Yeah. And this Vimana, there were quite a few of them, that they're the rulers of the old Rama Empire, and from there on back, they used this Vimana to travel with. And it evidently was very effective, but it was noisy. There was hard on the ears of the people that was around it. So there were a lot of complaints on that noise. But we see other things. I've been digging around in the archives of NASA for quite a long time, and I find that one of the pictures, in fact, I have it on my website, and I'll give you the website later. There is a picture, a NASA print, of a very large cigar-shaped ship floating outside of the disk of the rings around Saturn. Now, in order to be this big so we can see it as a fairly good sizable craft, it was several thousand miles long. And it is well over a couple of thousand miles wide.
Incredible, that is.
And this ship was moving not in the same speed of the ring that it was outside of, but at a different speed, which tells everybody looking at it that it's not part of the disk. It is not a rock formed that way, because then it would be traveling with the debris in the disks.
Yes.
So there is something there that cannot be explained, and NASA, of course, they don't want to talk about it. But you can go to my website later on here, and you can see this picture in the infrared scale. That's where it showed up the best. It lit up there, and that makes perfect sense because in order to have that drive or the propulsion system, they are putting out infrared radiation. Now, the bell, as the Germans put it together, at the end of the war, nobody could find it. They got it out of the country before the war, and they took it either to South America or to Base 211 at Antarctica, where they also have a base still to this date. And the papers were found on it in the archives of the Germans, but not the bell itself. So that bell actually ended up, the papers on it ended up in the Americans' hands. So they've had that since 1945, even though it took them a year to get all through all the papers, so they probably could be maybe 1946 by the time they got their hands on it and started experimenting. It'll take them a while. But they have evidently by now built this thing, and they are experimenting with it, as well as they built it into craft, because we see there are crafts and stories of people that worked at Area 51 and S4 and other places that say this, the propulsion systems in some of the crafts, they have similarities to the bell.
Right. And actually, there's been some sightings of something similar to that up in the skies.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, we have Billy Meyer over in Switzerland. I mean, he's been taking pictures of UFOs since the early 1970s. And he met with some of the people that fly those things. And he was taken aboard. He was taken off the planet into orbit. He had pictures of some of this, pictures of the craft, close-up pictures of the craft, which are some of them are on my website also. And there are some debunking going on about Billy Myers, but some of these pictures cannot be explained. And people investigating the pictures, they find out the pixels on the picture has not been manipulated with. So, yeah, there is something there. He did have some contacts. And that is worth Billy Meyer. You should just get on the internet and maybe look at some of these pictures that he has there, and they're phenomenal.
What did they call him?
Huh?
What did they call his name?
Billy Meyer.
Billy Meyer.
Yeah, Billy Meyer. Yeah. And then for all of you out there listening to this, there is one thing you can do to be able to see UFOs just about every time you go out and try. Get yourself a fourth generation night vision goggles. They used to be about $3,000 to $4,000 a piece for those goggles because they were new technology and the establishment really didn't want private individuals to have it, but now they're down to about $300-$500. When you take those night vision goggles and go outside, you're able to see into the higher light spectrum that your eyes are not able to see. And you see things into the lower levels of higher dimensions, as well as into the infrared spectrum. So what you can do there, get a hold of those, go outside and start, sit down and just give it an hour. Sit there, look up into the sky.
Damn,
and
yeah.
I will almost guarantee you're going to see things that move across the sky, make 90-degree turns at extreme speeds, as well as you're going to see some close-up ones that you can see the shape of them. They can be disc, they can be boomerang-shaped, and they can be just about any other shape. This
right.
works.
And how does that work with them goggles then?
Well, it's it gives you the regular night vision. You know, it gives you a little green tint to it.
Yes.
But you can see up and beyond your visual cue, the range of your visual cues of the eye. And that's what. That's what where you're going to start discovering some of these things that are cloaked or them in the higher vibration that has not lowered their vibration to come into where we can see them otherwise. Like this became first kind of almost common knowledge because the some of the officers in the military over in the Middle East, they were issued these fourth generation night vision goggles, and they came back and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, we see stuff in here that when we take them off, it's not there. We see things flying around, and how come it's not showing up on radar? So the command over there, they took these night vision goggles, the fourth generation, away from them and gave them back to third generation where these things didn't show up so much. They really didn't want them to know that there are other things out there that is flying around that we can't see.
Right.
Now, the really strange thing is that if you go into the woods with these night vision goggles on, you're going to see animals. Strange-looking animals.
Right.
And when you take the night vision goggles off, they're not there.
That would be good.
Yeah, and it could be. I don't know if it would be scary or not, but it could be.
Yes.
There are some really goofy-looking animals out there. So you can, but there are also deer and other things, and but they don't show up when you take the night vision goggles off.
Right.
So that's. This is something that you can experiment with. On my Facebook
yes.
page, I have a picture of a trail camera that had, there was pictures taken there of a deer that was running across, and there's a gargoyle type of creature running after it.
Right.
That gets you an idea of some of the things you can actually see. If you use these things.
Right.
Not all of it is pleasant.
No, probably not. So they're
no.
like a different dimension then, aren't they?
Yes, that's what it is. Another thing that I've noticed, you know, I flew for a living for quite a few years, for 23 years, and when I talk to pilots, about half of them, they will admit to the fact that, yes, I have seen things in the sky that cannot be explained. I have seen many of these in the sky because I flew a lot at night. And I saw things that, you see satellites, you know, they're going in a straight line. This little blip of light going in a straight line. That's very often a satellite. But when they suddenly just make a 90-degree turn, without stopping, that's not a satellite.
Have you ever had a close encounter when you've been flying your plane?
Yes, I actually did. I was up in northern Nebraska. I was up there with a student teaching that student to fly under the instrument, which we call the student had a hood on, so he could only see the instrument panel inside the airplane. And I was sitting in the right seat, and as the co-pilot seat, just instructing and giving him directions. And then from the right, from my about 230 position on the right side, there was this strange looking, it looked like almost like a skateboard, but it was longer than it was wide. It came and it flew right underneath the airplane, about 300-400 feet underneath the airplane, and it disappeared out on the left to my rear. And I sat there, was just so mesmerized with it, I forgot to tell the student to take his hood off and look. So when it was underneath the airplane, you know, that would be nice to have somebody else to see it too.
Yes, God.
And that one was really close, and it was big enough I could see there were windows on the side of it. And it was probably about 25 feet, 30 feet long, something like that.
Amazing.
And this thing flew underneath the airplane and just disappeared to my left. I looked back there and I could see it. When it flew underneath, it was the same altitude, and then it sped off going up and back. So it just took off, and it was gone in a matter of 2 seconds out of sight.
Amazing. Could you see inside it as well?
No, I couldn't see anything inside. I could just see the... It went so fast, it was hard to keep focused on it. But there were windows, but I couldn't see... they were lighter windows. There was kind of a whitish light inside. And that's all I could see. But there was a little bend in the front of it and at the back. And then it kind of looked like a skateboard almost.
I bet you thought, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I sat there and, you know, thinking, this was interesting. And then I had another one that I was sitting flying a King Air over Kansas, and I think we were flying somebody down to the burn center in Houston, and it was a medical flight. And I was in the left captain seat, and the co-pilot was with me, and I saw this little short cigar-shaped craft coming from the left in front of us, several, probably about a mile ahead of us. It was fairly close. And then it was just from the left corner to the time it was straight ahead of us until it was gone on the right side, it was probably about 3 seconds. So it was hard to follow it, but it was a black cigar, short cigar, and it appeared as it was a little bit of a bright light at the very tail end of it. And I looked over to the co-pilot, and he looked at me, and I asked him, did you see that? And he looked at me again, and he looked straight ahead, did not say a thing. And after I told somebody about this, and they said, oh yeah, he was a born-again Christian. So anything that you can't explain like that, you know, is a demon. So he figured there was probably Satan that was out there or something like that.
It's funny you say that, but they all say that. Demons.
Yeah.
Satans.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. But and there are other incidents that I've had that speak to this. So I am convinced on basically what I've seen, not to speak about all the other things.
Yes.
And,
that's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, England is a hotbed for UFOs, especially up around Stonehenge and in that area.
Yes.
And people up there probably see it all the time, don't they?
Yeah, they do in Wiltshire and I'm trying to think of the other places down that area, Warminster.
Yeah.
Down in Warminster, they see a lot around that area. And then all of a sudden, we seem to see a lot on the northeast coast where I live.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I have a video on my Facebook page that shows three small bright whites flying around in circles. And then suddenly, the wheat field underneath it just lays down and it creates a crop circle.
That is strange.
That's an that's an interesting one. It took about a second to a second and a half for the whole circle to just lay down, and there it was. And then these bright lights took off.
Gone.
And right after that, there was a helicopter flying in the same direction.
Right. Well, black helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
So that's
the thing.
The
thing is, and when we speak about UFOs, it's the moon has been observed for a very long time, since they invented the telescope that's a little over 300 years ago. And we've seen stuff on the moon all the way back to that time. And the moon itself, let's just talk a little about the moon.
Yes.
It appears that it is an unnatural satellite to Earth because of its orbit. We know the gravity weight of the moon. We know the speed it is going around Earth at. We know the distance, which is not exactly like NASA is saying, but it's close.
Right.
All of these things, if you put that into the computer and you run it, you find out that the moon should not be able to stay in that orbit because it's too heavy for the distance that it is and for the amount of gravity that Earth is putting out to hold it there. It would be departing and going away from Earth because of centrifugal force. So it is, in order for it to be in the orbit that it is, it has to be hollow.
Oh.
At least a very large cavern inside. And also, since all the way back to well over 300 years ago, there's observations of things going on up there. And there are happenings. They can see light, and they can see all kinds of things. And there is somebody on the moon, and it is not us. Well, when I speak about us, I really mean our society, or American society, Russians or Chinese, the society that we're told about when I say us. And, of course, that's what we're told. You know, we went to the moon in 1969 to about 76, and then we didn't go anymore. Well, we've been on the moon for a lot longer than that.
A lot of people say, I'll say to them, you're on about the moon, and there can't be anybody living there. So I always say to them, you know, last time they went up to the moon, why haven't they been back then? And they can't answer me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they're not going there no more. They've been told not to go again. Don't talk a load of rubbish. I said, well, I'm just talking to it. You can believe it or not believe it, but why haven't they gone back then? They can't explain.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And there are some good answers. You know, if you really start looking closely at the moon, then the truth becomes stranger than fiction. I did some research on this, and if you only listen to NASA, they're telling you there's nothing there, it's a dead rock in the sky. But then we have these pictures. We have activities being observed up there. We have government documents that say something totally different. And the moon, it's not rotating. It's the same side that is against us all the time. And that is plus or minus 5 degrees because it wobbles a little bit back and forth, but it doesn't rotate. Now, if it was perfectly round, like we're told, it should probably at least rotate a little bit.
So it doesn't rotate at all then?
No, it doesn't rotate. That's why they call it the dark side of the moon. On the other side, it's not dark. It's just that on the other side. Another thing we're finding out, the origin of the moon is about 500 million years older than Earth, because they looked at the rocks that they brought back. And they ran some carbon testing and also electronic testing on it and find out that, yeah, this is a lot older than Earth, which tells us that it was not even formed in the same cloud of dust as Earth was. Obviously, then, it was parked in orbit. So, now we got a question. Who parked it? And why? Because the orbit that it has, there are NASA officials that have come forward and say the orbit that it has is almost impossible. It's a one against hundreds of thousands chances that it could be parked there. Because if it came in from the outside, the mass that it has, it would either collide with Earth or bounce off.
Right.
And just the way that it is parked there, it tells you that there was an intelligence behind the parking of the moon in the orbit that it has. Now, even NASA itself, when they talk about research, the Russian research, U.S. research, there was a guy named Joseph F. Bloomrich. He was the leading engineer at NASA Marshall Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. He made an official statement after reviewing all the available information from Russian sources and U.S. sources for 18 months. And he said, and I quote, as it says in the book, "Earth are and have been visited on a regular basis by extraterrestrial beings." Now, there are discovered a large number of structures on the moon, even before we allegedly went to the moon in 1969. Now, if you get yourself a telescope that magnifies 800 actually, times, then you can see pyramids on the moon. You can see large structures that look like hangars. I on my webpage, I have a picture of something that looked like water tanks, because they are perfectly round, smooth surface, and a slightly convex top of it, just like a water tank or an oil tank would be.
Right.
The only thing is that this is almost a mile wide and over a mile tall.
Amazing.
And I don't know, they don't use oil up there, so I would think it's probably water tanks pumping it up from the inside of the moon, and because we know there's water on the moon now. NASA's even declared that they found it.
Found
the polar region.
On the moon.
Yeah. So.
Do you say that the moon is hollow?
Yeah. It has to be hollow. According to the Russians, they run the numbers on the orbit and the amount of gravity between Earth and the moon, and they say it can't be there. So it has to be hollow. It has to be a lot lighter than what it is. And also, there's a huge bridge. It's a bridge-like structure across the Sea of Crisis. It was discovered in 1954 by John O'Neill. He's a science editor for the New York Herald Tribune. And he said this bridge is over 12 miles long, and it is too symmetrical. It looks artificial. And the trick is that they watched it being built.
Right.
So there is something there that shouldn't be there.
Correct.
Now, there's a book called Our Moon by Friedrich Mueller. It was written in 1954. In that book, there's some pictures, and I also looked at the NASA print. They show green vegetation in some of the craters on the moon.
Right.
And on my
so
website, I also have... Yeah, and there's pictures of some other things on the moon. And you can find that. If you sit in front of the computer right now, you could go ahead and bring it up. And it's www.aage-nost. So it's www.myfirstname-mylastname.com.
Right.
And then again, a good while back in 1970, Argosy magazine wrote about, and they showed pictures of symmetrical, organized, 15-story tall, round structures in a straight line on the moon. So, there's things up there that cannot be explained by natural sources. In Cassini A, the crater Cassini A, which is in the Sea of Storms, there's a crater about 1.5 miles wide, this Cassini A. There is a 600-foot round plug hole going right into the surface of the moon. It looks very smooth and glassy inside, and it goes quite far in because there's no light at the end. And if you put your telescope on that, you can find it there. Then keep it there. Keep turning the knob so you can follow the orbit of the moon and keep it there. And you just might see little bright lights coming out of that hole and going into that hole. There are several people that have seen that.
Yeah.
And here, if you really want to know what's going on the moon, get a hold of a report that NASA put together, and they classified it, but it's released now. It's called Chronological Catalog of Lunar Events. And you'll see what they're really hiding from you. That is incidents of things that has been observed, what the astronauts have seen, and what astronomers have seen. And there are a lot of stuff up there that they cannot explain, and they don't even try.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Here is, excuse me, on November 12 in 1671, there was observed a small cloud moving across the surface of the moon. And this was seen by a very famous astronomer that made a record of it. His name was Cassini. They named the crater after him on the moon.
Cassini.
And if there's no atmosphere on the moon, why would there be clouds on the moon?
Yeah, why? Hmm. Yes, exactly.
And then again, in 1787, on the 18th of May, there was a record of astronomer Halley. You know, the guy that discovered Halley's Comet?
Yes.
He saw shadows moving around several places on the moon. And then 1926, they show a record of lights moving around in the Sea of Crisis. And 4th of July, 1881, there were two pyramids on the moon's edge that was observed. And several days later, they disappeared. Some of these things cannot be explained, but it happens. And there is credible people that have made reports on it. So... are you still there? Oh. Hello. Hello. God.
I'm back now.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
It just went off. I don't know why, so I managed to get back into it.
Oh, man. Oh, so I was on all the time then. Are you the one that dropped off, huh?
It was me that dropped off for some unknown reason. But I've managed to get on straight away. Yeah, so you're talking about things on the moon?
Yep. There are all kinds of different accounts of very credible people that had made reports on it. Astronomers, astronomer Cassini, he saw clouds on the moon. And then we have astronomer Halley, you know, the one that discovered Halley's Comet. He saw shadows moving around on the moon. And in 1926, there were moving lights moving around in the Sea of Crisis on the moon. And
it's
you're still
strange,
there?
No, but people see them.
Yep.
There's always a theory is, did we actually go to the moon?
Yeah, and in fact, we have been, I say we, I mean the American dark projects have ships that has gone to the moon in the early 1950s. But they didn't tell the people about anything before 1969. And of course in 1969 that was faked because they couldn't go there safely in that tin can that they told us.
Right.
They could get through the Van Allen belt. That's no problem, but going beyond the Van Allen belt and to the moon could not safely be done because if there was an eruption of a solar flare coming in their direction, they would have been cooked in it. And it would not be reasonable for NASA to take that chance with the astronauts.
So did it actually go there then?
And not in 1969. Though they've been there since 1952, something like that, because that's when they perfected and were able to fly these things they caught from the Germans and they caught from the aliens and so on. But they've been there. Yes, they've been there. Astronauts have been there, but they didn't go there in that tin can.
Right. And did they go after 1969?
Absolutely. They're still going back and forth. They have a shuttle going back and forth. Maybe we should get into what's really going on the moon.
Yes.
There's a shuttle going every week coming into... They're coming into Groom Lake or to Area 51. They're flying back and forth every week. Friday afternoon, there used to be over California, there'd be a weak sonic boom coming in because it was coming in at a steep angle, so it wouldn't be much of a boom, but you could still hear it. And they go back and forth as a supply ship every week. And on the moon, Americans have been there since the early 1950s. The Russians have been there, and they're working together on a project. They have manufacturing plants up there. They are making ships. And they have a large workforce. But the biggest part of the workforce are not volunteers, are not private contractors that go up there and work for 10 years and get themselves $1 million or so and come back home. No.
Yeah.
They're slave labor.
Ah.
Abducted people from Earth. And they have a large colony. The Germans have their colony. One of the big buildings that the Germans built up there is looking exactly like a swastika.
Ah.
And... in fact, I have a picture of that one on my website, on my Facebook page somewhere. It's a NASA print. And the American Dark Project have their manufacturing plants up there, and they abduct people from Earth. Where do you think that there are tens of thousands of kids disappearing every year.
Yes.
Every month, actually.
Yes.
Where do you think they go?
Some of them
are, you know, done away with on Earth by psychopaths.
Yes.
But a large portion of the people that disappear on Earth, they end up on the moon working as slave labor.
Right.
And that's a tough one to deal with when we think about it.
It is, yes.
And the Russians have their own base up there, but they work very closely with the U.S. There is no conflict between the two of them. The same thing, the Chinese have been invited there, and that's one of the reasons by 2025 they say they're going to plant the flag on the moon. The Chinese also have a black project that not necessarily all the politicians know about.
Is the Chinese working with the Russians and the Americans then?
Yes, to a big degree they are, but not so much so far. They are in a smaller degree probably than the Russians. The Russians and the U.S. are very close on this.
Is there any English up there then?
I'm sorry?
Is there any British people?
I believe they are involved very much with the U.S.
Right.
Because up there, there are no nationalities. There's only one. And that's, they're sharing technologies, they are sharing people, they are sharing knowledge. There is no such thing, I'm Russian, you're American, there's no such thing.
No. Everybody's equal.
Yeah. Though, then again, there are other races up there. There are well over 30 races that have bases on the moon. And the Greys, they are the labor force. The small Greys, they are the labor force for them. They are the one that do the hard work. The bigger Greys, they are the planners and the pilots and so on that move things around. And then, of course, we have many other races. There are, some of them are very benevolent. They have our interest at heart. And they work for disclosure. There are tens of thousands of ships in orbit, stationary orbit, mostly on the other side of the moon, because that's where they parked it, because they know that with strong telescope we can see it from here. And once in a while you can see with a strong telescope, you can look at the moon and you can see something flying in front of it.
Yes.
And there are many videos of that on YouTube and other places. So there is... these benevolent forces that has come in from all over right now and are on the backside of the moon, they are waiting for one thing, and that is disclosure. Some of these ships that is sitting there, they are miles and miles long, huge, and they are people living on those ships that has never been off the ship. They were born on the ship, they grew up, got educated, and worked all their life on the ship. But because of the gravitational field around the ship, they don't age like we do. The radiation and the genetic code is different. The telomeres are not allowed to... They do not shorten up, so the cells will replicate themselves.
Right.
And the these, and you remember this large ship flying outside of the rings of Saturn?
Yes.
That ship is one of those where people get born on the ship. They grow up there, they live all their life on the ship. That ship is the only thing they know. It's like a planet.
I can imagine it is as well.
Yeah. And if you go to my website and go to the picture gallery, you'll find a lot of these pictures and strange ones. We have huge skulls that is anything from 5-6 feet across the temples, and we have evidence of bones that if a person was they come out of a skeleton, that had to be somewhere around 30 feet tall.
Good God.
So yes, there's been giants on Earth. In fact, they're still here. They're just not among us much. And aliens, yeah, aliens have come to Earth. They walk around on our streets. They are, they have, some of them look almost just like us, except for bright. There are one race that has come here and associate with humans. They have very bright blue eyes. And the pupils are very small. So you can, if you see someone like that, you can wonder. Because they are very often just an alien race that is here for a specific purpose doing things.
Right.
And, yeah, I see we're getting down to the end of the show here.
Hello? We've got 3 minutes left. Would you like to let everybody know where they can get in touch with you, Age?
Yeah, the a good way to do that is go to my website. That is www.aage-nost.com. So it's www.myfirstname-mylastname.com. And there's a place you can contact me there, so send me a message and we can communicate.
Well, great
but
idea.
Go to the picture gallery. I think you're going to enjoy a lot of that stuff in there. I even have a skull that has one eye in the front of it.
Oh, amazing. Is that right on the forehead as well?
Right in the middle of the forehead.
Right, yes. Like a cyclops.
Yep, that was the word for it. But this is something that... Start researching on your own. Get yourself some night vision goggles and start poking around with this. You're going to enjoy it. It'll open up your mind to something that you may not have considered before.
Fourth generation night goggles.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. I shall go and have a look at them and see what price they are.
Mm-hmm. And also, this book I mentioned about the our mysterious spaceship moon. That has it's an old book. It's out of print, but you can probably find it here and there. On eBay, possibly. Our mysterious spaceship moon. It is a rare book that really have a lot of very interesting stuff
mysterious.
In it. Because they explain why the moon is artificial to our solar system even. It was flown in and parked.
Okay. Anyway, I should say thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been very interesting. I'm sure when people listen to the show later on, when people have around the world, I'm sure they'll find it very interesting what we've been talking about tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. I had fun anyway.
I always have fun with you, Age. You're the best.
Thank you.
Anyway, you take care. Have a lovely weekend.
I will.
I'll talk to you soon.